Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everyone. It's not Steve, obviously. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello in California.
Hello.
Howdy, Becky.
In Ohio.
I forgot. No, I'm not in Ohio. I'm actually calling from Texas. I'm calling from our resource center where all of our callers call in when you call into 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I am here with my fabulous coworkers who are answering the phones and doing all the great ministry work to help people all across the country and actually the world find their new life. And we're so grateful for you, our listeners, for doing all that. We've got some calls lined up. We're always taking calls, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or 1-800-229-3000, because we want to help you. This is the day after Thanksgiving. Some of you have had to put on the stretchy pants today because it's just been so much food.
That's why I save my old pregnancy pants.
Yeah. There you go.
That is
so true.
That's right. And, you know, but there's some of you, the hangover that you have is not due to alcohol or food. It's due to too much family time, that you just have had too many of those difficult conversations. And you're thinking about, you may be unsettled today because of some of those conversations. You cannot believe your mother said this. You cannot believe your cousin had the audacity to do that, and all of the things in between. Alice, Jill, what would you say to somebody who's in that space where it's like, ugh, that was not a good day at all, and how am I going to make it through Christmas if I got to go back with those people again?
I want to give the reassurance that all feelings are legitimate and have a base reason for why they have arisen. Mm-hmm. And we, I think, are too quick to want to minimize, push away, and stop feeling negative feelings. I don't want to either. But there is a reason they're there, and it's a God-built design to show us there's something that needs our attention. There's something unresolved. And it's often history combined with that comment that got us yesterday. Mm-hmm. That comment usually stirs up the old history that affected us previously and still needs some emotional and spiritual attention. So to better prepare for Christmas, take your feelings seriously. Explore them. Talk about them. Figure out what they mean and what the need is beneath the feeling.
Right. So then after you do that, though, to realize that, as Steve always says, your feelings have a point, but they aren't the whole point. And so then to balance it against what you know to be true. Because it's really important. When those comments happen, those negative encounters, it takes you away. It like transports you to another place and time. And you want to learn to hold on to yourself and to stay grounded. So we need to back up some truth that you're okay. That comment, that zinger tapped into a time past, but that isn't necessarily your reality today. And people are often wrong. They have wrong assumptions about us, right?
Right. I also think what you were just saying, Alice, about when that feeling comes up, or that trigger, that's another word that we would use, it just means there's something to work on. And it doesn't mean that relationship's going to be resolved, but it's okay to explore those things. So maybe it would be to connect with one of our New Life counselors. It may be to get involved with a group, not because there's something wrong with you, but because you want to be able to know what to do when those big feelings come. And you know, and then when you look forward to meeting with people that kind of irritate you, you've got some tools to go ahead with it. Now, we are so excited to be able to help you in so many ways. We're going to take, we're going to start with Dani after the break. We're going to talk with her, and then we're going to continue from there. But, you know, we are here for you. You can look at newlife.com for resources. We've got books, we've got groups, we've got articles, all kinds of things. But, you know, it's not just for you. Maybe you know somebody that needs some help. And maybe you can share that information with somebody. Share New Life. It can make all the difference in your day and in your holiday. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we're taking your calls, and we are going to talk with Dani, who's calling us from Lynchburg, Virginia, listens on the great station WAVA, and we're so glad you are calling, Dani. How can we help you today?
Hey, ladies. How are you today?
Good.
Doing well.
Good.
You're doing well.
Good. My name is Danielle. I'm from Lynchburg. I've called in several times, and I just want to thank you. I'm a New Life member recently, like in the
thank
last
you.
Couple
All
of weeks.
Right.
Really
oh, yay.
Yeah. So happy, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, y'all.
Yeah.
We love what you do. My husband and I listen to you faithfully. I've been doing it for over 22 years, and you have always helped me through. I do have a couple of questions for you today, because I don't know what to do exactly. I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible. We moved from Kansas City, Missouri to Lynchburg, Virginia about 8 months ago. I've already put up my Christmas tree, and I know this is for, like, the Black Friday program. It's perfectly timed. I mean, this is perfect. Like, I put my tree up, got the icicle lights up, but every single time I do that and I put the Christmas tree up, whether it's a fake tree or a real tree, it brings me back to my divorce from 22 years ago when I first started listening to you guys. And so, like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do to move forward. I know Dr. Jill is also divorced, I believe. I'm not sure. But I know that it's been a struggle every single time I put up a tree or go through Christmas. But the good news is that I got saved on Christmas Eve in 1999.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, I have bipolar feelings.
Yes. Well, but Dani, you also said you and your husband. So are you remarried?
Yes, I'm remarried right now. Yes.
Okay.
For 7 years already.
So, okay.
Yeah, but not my husband. Not my ex-husband. He was Satan's child, so he said. And so he was not a very good guy at all. Yeah, we met in the military, so
okay.
It was not good.
So what's the association with putting up the tree? Is that when things fell apart?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's when he came home. He came home on Christmas Eve in 99 and told me that he had committed adultery and that he was leaving me, and he abandoned me and completely left out of my life, and I have no idea where he is, and nor do I really want to know, because, you know, I mean, that's part of, you know, moving on and moving forward. I mean, I pray for him, but that's about all I can do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And just hope I don't run into him.
So there's a lot that feels unresolved with his disappearance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure a lot of, even though this time has passed, those questions can stay with us over time, right?
Yeah.
And yes, and so I'm wondering, Dani, have you done work on what you tell yourself is the meaning of all of the unknown? How are you, what are you believing about yourself? Because I think when something keeps rearing up and keep coming back around, it's like an anniversary response, right? And we don't erase the bad memories that happen to us in life. And if we tap into them, we can bring up that well of pain. But what we want to do is add more good experiences that eventually outweigh the bad, and that we become less organized around the bad stuff in our lives, right? And we focus on... Go ahead.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is that what if I have a good time, will this mean that I didn't care about us, like the first marriage? You know what I'm saying?
I keep
coming back to...
Dani, are you still...
I have a good time.
Okay, so one of the things that I know that I had to go through with divorce is feeling like I had made these vows before God and family, and I needed to keep that commitment. I needed to hold on to those vows until finally somebody said, but your husband broke the vows. So the vows, it's like a wishbone you're holding together, and you only have half of it, right? And half of a vow is incomplete. So by virtue of the other person breaking that, that means you have to kind of lay yours down, right? Yeah. God is not faulting you for the other person breaking the vow, but you're holding up a fight that's no longer needing to be fought. It's like that the who was the guy, the Japanese guy who was still hiding out from World War II for like 30 years, and he was still like maintaining his fight and in hiding. Mm-hmm. It's like he didn't realize the war was over. Your war is over. Right.
That's a great analogy.
And so,
and it goes back, Jill, to what I also was saying too. This is like a trigger. The tree is the trigger for the unresolved grief and the unresolved
healing.
Well, and
to be abandoned at Christmas time.
Yes.
And Christmas time.
All of the things.
Yes. And Christmas time, when you're first going through a loss, it's horrible. Like, I remember just putting my kids in the car, and we went out and drove around looking at Christmas lights because, okay, that was something happy, right? And that was like the most I could do, you know, during a difficult time. So, but slow. Yeah. Go ahead. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just curious. I was listening to the previous thing, and it said all feelings are legitimate, but that's but there's a reason why. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like there's a reason why I keep coming back to the same thing over and over for 22 years.
Yes.
Well, because you're not done with it.
Well, because other areas of your life have really moved on. So
I don't get it.
Right? So this is where, Danny, getting into therapy would be really helpful. So that you have a place where you explore that. So that the rest of your life, you can continue to progress. But digging into that and taking a season of, why does this keep tripping me up with the perhaps the same level of intensity as it once did? Right? It's like it's been buried alive. Right?
So, Danny, you were laughing about therapy, and I saw Alice's reaction to that. Have you done some therapy about this, or what's your feeling about that?
I laugh not because I don't love therapy, but I'm actually like one that does therapy. So I like understand that I need to get counseling again or still, and that's okay with me. But I'm even in grief support right now, and it's very difficult to go through the holidays with grief. And I feel like I'm having to grieve. And I heard the word grief, and I'm like, oh, yep, there we go again. You know what I'm saying? I have to grieve my past in order to move on into my future. And that's kind of what I'm having to do right now, and it's very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable, you know, and I don't know exactly how to feel. So.
And Danny, our work on the trauma and the loss, it's never a one and done. It's more like a spiral where we circle around in different ways with a different perspective. And as fatiguing as that is, every single time we're triggered, I see it as God's invitation to deeper healing on that particular issue, if we're willing to not avoid it, but rather turn and face it, even move into the feeling, expecting that if we explore it, if we retell some of those old stories about that Christmas and about how painful it was, that God is showing us something different, and he's bringing about a different level of freedom. You have an unwritten rule. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something along the lines of, you're not allowed to have fun because it means you didn't care. It means you didn't care enough. So you're supposed to be sad, or you're supposed to be angry. I don't know quite what it is, but figuring out what that unwritten rule is that you're supposed to live by and where it came from, when was it established, so that you can start coming against that rule and breaking it. That enjoying life now means that you're appreciating the good things that God has brought through your life. Appreciation now does not mean you didn't care about that first husband.
That's
absolutely.
Well,
and what,
I just want to just give her some hope of, I think emotional freedom would be a great thing for you to attend, Danny. It would be a deep dive for just, you know, just the day. It's online. And we're going to send you a copy of Intimate Deception, because I think that that will also help you understand the depths of that trauma. And Jill's got one more thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Danny, also trying to shift your association with the Christmas tree, because the Christmas tree represents so many other things. It also represents Christ on the cross. And remember that he died for all of this, and he suffered there on the tree or the cross, right? And so your suffering is with him. And perhaps to make it a shift and to turn your focus to the Lord and what he did to free you up is also an angle you can look at.
And thank you so much, Danny, for calling. And I hope that you'll join us at Emotional Freedom, or on Emotional Freedom, which is online in January. And if you're interested, others of you who are listening and you want to get unstuck, that's a great place to start. Right now, we're going to go to Sylvia, who's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens on WFIL, great station there. Hi, Sylvia. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I have this issue that it bothers me and annoys me. I have a 52-year-old son, and we have fairly good relationship, but so often he will say, Mom, I love you. I love you. But it never follows up with the behavior or the actions. He would say, oh, I'll come and help you. I'm elderly, so he said, I'll come and help you. I'll take this or I'll do this, but never follows up. So that I love you seems so insignificant. It's almost a slap in the face to me, because why would you say that if you don't follow up? Love to me is behavior, it's action, not just words. And I want to talk to him about it and handle this the right way, not to just react on impulse, but just talk to him so it's constructive. And I don't know how to handle this.
Sylvia, the words are actually painful, because the behavior doesn't follow suit. Was there ever an exception or a previous time where he showed love to you in his actions?
I don't believe there was ever a time. He was very close to his father, who had passed away in 95. And I know we all grieve his loss. But it's, we sort of had like rocky relationship. We respect each other, we understand each other, but that behavior to me lacks respect. And I think he also, this is just my perception, that he lacks respect for women, although he now is involved with someone that he's respecting and enjoying the company, that is just more than the physical relationship. There's also connection. So I'm hoping that gradually perhaps will grow into something more positive.
And maybe soften him towards you. And you said you have a rocky relationship with him. Looking back, where is there a rupture in relationship? What happened between you two?
I think perhaps in some degree, we spoiled him. We allowed him to not to take responsibility for his actions. We sort of like, if there's a problem, Mom will solve it. If there's anything, Mom will figure out. Mom will cross any bridge just to help you. If there's crisis.
So he never had to follow up, Sylvia?
Yeah.
Because you guys finished things for him?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a really humble acknowledgement. And I'm going to put it into different words. You unintentionally taught him that you are independent and self-sufficient. Not only will you take care of yourself, but you'll also take care of him. And your willingness to see that was a setup. You didn't foresee this happening, but the result is he learned the lesson too well. And so the way that you'll address it in part will probably involve an acknowledgement and a sharing of that. I misstepped here as your mom, and I didn't realize it at the time, but now I see that I did too much for you, and I want to find out how that affected you and how it even affects our relationship today. And we'll have a couple of other thoughts and questions to share with you on the other side of the break, Sylvia.
You know, it's a really tricky thing to be a parent. You know, you can do your very best to provide for them, and somehow things can go awry. And Sylvia, I love that you are calling to ask about this because you want to stay in connection with them. And Alice is right. We'll be right back after this with some answers.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're so glad you joined us today. We are talking with Sylvia, who has an adult son in his 50s who says he loves her, but his actions don't really support that, and there's not really a connection. And Alice and Jill were beginning to give some direction. And, you know, I just want to say, Sylvia, a lot of times I'm just so grateful for your soft heart towards him and to, you know, just to reconnect. But, Alice, you had a couple of ideas before the break that you wanted to dive into, and Jill, I know you have something to say. Mm-hmm.
And Sylvia, it'd be helpful to know, is your son the only person that you have access to help you with those things you can't do for yourself now?
I'm sorry, I don't think I understand your question.
Is your son your only son, and is there anyone else you turn to for help when you need assistance?
I think there are two daughters. One is both younger than him. And I don't want to compromise their relationship with him. And I sort of, during the brief conversations that I have with them, they would say, well, we just take him for what it is. And also it's the interactions about the same. I think he follows up more with his one sister because she's more settled than with the other sister, that her life is like in yo-yo. So he would say, oh, I'll come and fix this for you, or I'll come and do this for you. And never calls, never texts, never shows up. So we almost learned not to count on it till he actually does it.
Mm-hmm. It does tend, sadly, to be helpful to adjust our expectations that when someone continuously doesn't follow through, we really shouldn't expect them to follow through. But as parents and as Christians, we're also called to point out hurtful behavior. And when we do it, starting with humility of, I've been an imperfect mom, I wonder how this has affected you. And I've got to admit, I'm a little hurt that when you say you love me, but you then don't come over and help the way you say you will, it is hard to believe the words. And can we talk about that, what that's like? And I'd even want to know, what's it like on your side of things when I ask for your help? But I need to know, I need you to know that this is hurtful for me.
Right, right.
That's good.
I love that. And Sylvia, that would be a really good tactic, and even maybe writing some of it out ahead of time so you really have it in your mind of how to approach him. And this is, you're wanting to just have a conversation about all of this. This isn't to get mad at him, but at the same time being honest that it's confusing, because while everyone likes to hear words, we also need the action. So it's confusing in terms of how he relates to you. And two, I'm wondering, so we have the hypothesis that you as a mother, Sylvia, finished everything for him, and so he's learned this way of being in the world. But it sounds like everybody has wanted to draw from him, but what else goes on for him as a kid? Like, he's got good intentions, but I imagine that it's not just with you. It sounds like in every aspect of his life, he isn't able to follow through. And is he someone that maybe is undiagnosed ADHD, or he means it, but it just doesn't happen? And so to talk about that, what's it like for him, like you were saying, Alice, When he says he'll do something, it seems like he's sincere. But then what happens? Where is the breakdown for him? And I think it's a good time, as you mentioned, he's getting involved with a woman. And so how he treats you and his sisters will probably, most likely, because it usually always is, how he will end up treating any woman he is with long term. Mm-hmm. And so to bring these things up, to be humble about your own failings and say, son, can we talk about these things? Are you willing to have a conversation? Because I, you know, as you move forward, mm-hmm. I, you know, want to point out some things that might be helpful.
Right. Well, and I also think in that situation, the right way to handle it is when you ask him to do something, you say, can you do it by this date? And get the yes or no then. And then if he doesn't, then you can go back and say, remember when I asked you about that? What kept you? You're having to reorganize this relationship. And it's a lot after all these years.
Or Becky, you had an idea at the break. Invite him over for Sunday afternoon lunch.
Yes.
And say, why don't you come over for lunch? And then we can tackle some of these things, because
right.
it may be organizing his time. And if you offer him a lunch and he's already there, then maybe that would
right.
give him some structure that he needs.
Right. I love that. Well, we're hoping that that will help you in some way, Sylvia. If, you know, with family, it can be challenging. But I think I'm going to send you a healing as a choice, because I think that that can help you with reorganizing that relationship and also with your family so that you guys can have that connection. We're going to, and we're so grateful you called. We're going to talk to George now, who's calling us from Saratoga, New York. It's your first time calling in, and we're so glad that you called, George. And now here comes the music. But if you have your question succinctly, maybe we can get to it right this minute. Do you have a question that you can ask right now? Oh, great. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I do. I need help fixing my relationship with my father, my brother, and my sister.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that after the break. And, if it's not one thing, it's your father or your mother
yeah.
or your sister or your brother. It just is always something in families. And we know that there is hope to reconnect or to heal and move on. I mean, sometimes that's the case, but we're going to do our best, George. We're going to get some details from you after this. We're so grateful for all y'all who are listening. And, we want to be helpful. So give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we can give you all the information that you can to get going.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It seems to be family day here at New Life, and mm-hmm. That's because we are in the midst of the holiday season, and we're talking with George. We got the brief question, but George, my follow-up question would be, what happened where the relationships just kind of broke apart? So if you want to fill in the details, that would be great.
Sure, no problem at all. First off, I'm 65 years old. I have attention deficit disorder. So as a child, my father was dominant over my mother, dominant over the family. Of course, having attention deficit or disorder, you're hyperactive. Mm-hmm. So I wound up being put in line an awful lot. Mm-hmm. At an early age, I felt this rejection, that my family was rejecting me. In particular, my father. Unfortunately, my mother would say the same things over and over again, and it was like I'm hearing this in stereo. And these actions went on for years, to a point where I got older and started, what's going on? What are you doing to me? And everybody stood back, and it's like, Dad's in charge. Dad knows what's best for everybody. And George, you just have a problem. And I was like, whoa, got married, beautiful relationship with my in-laws, beautiful relationship with the Lord. I have five beautiful grandchildren. I just pray every day to, what do I do to fix this? I mean, there was a blow-up event, if you want to talk about that. We were planning a family reunion, and I didn't want my grandchildren to be in an American Legion hall because, you know, they're running all over the place and stuff. And I was like, hey, guys, we can't have it in the American Legion hall. And my brother was like, we got to have it. And I said, we can't. And my father blew up on me on the phone tremendously. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then my brother went to my father and said, you know why? Do you know why he won't change? He won't change because he hates you. He always has. And I basically, that was my confidant. My brother is 10 years younger than me, and he's been in my confidant for my whole life. And I'm like, why did you do that? I know what it is. I know I have attention deficit disorder. I know I feel things differently and perceive things differently than other people. Why did you tell him? I hated him. I don't hate him. So it was like putting gas on the fire. So every time I talk to my father over the 2 years now, it's like I could be talking about Bible study, and my father gets into a total uproar and starts going off on me. It then rattles my brain for days, several times a day, weeks, and it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I love my wife and family, and I see everything beautiful on that side. What's wrong with you guys? You look at me like I'm broken, and I feel like I'm not.
I'm so sorry, George. It is so difficult, and it's traumatic. What you're talking about is traumatic. And I want to ask one more question before I go, because I don't know, Alice, if you're going to ask this, but how old is your dad?
My dad's 89.
Okay, and then my next question is there a possibility of any dementia or any aging issues? Because believe it or not, that does occur. And we see it in elderly a lot of times, where anger just comes to the surface and they're very reactive for lots of reasons. It's not you. It's what their brain is doing or what they're experiencing. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just trying to explain that, because a lot of times it's just so mind-boggling that you have these big reactions where it is necessary. But let's listen to what Alice and Jill have to say about that.
I just need a quick...
Wait 1 second.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Unfortunately, this has been a pattern with my father for years.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not
mother.
Just, yeah.
He's now deceased.
Okay.
But
and
like the last caller... Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I just need a quick clarification. So your brother told your dad that you hated him, or told you that your dad hated you?
My brother told my dad I hated him.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Carry on, Alice and Jill. What would you offer for George?
Oh, George, this has been a lifetime of disappointment and pain from the way your family behaves.
Yeah.
And it brings to mind for me Romans 12:18. If possible, on your part, live at peace. And that comes up because fixing some of this is not possible from your side of things. There is some work you can do, and I'll offer you some suggestions. But your father sounds like he might be impossible to please. Mm-hmm. And people who are impossible to please, this may sound silly, but they actually are impossible to please. And no matter what we do, we may not be able to change that about them. And so I think that there is some acceptance here on your part that your family is dysfunctional. And unless they decide to do deep character work on it, it probably will not change. And yet, that does not take away from you, George, the ability to work to make amends on your side. And so that probably involves acknowledging, Dad, I think you might believe that I hate you, and I want to clear this up. because I love you and I've loved these things about you. I, you know, maybe I've loved the effort you put into parenting. Dad, I know I was a tough kid to raise. Gosh, my hyperactivity. You might even bring up an example or two, George, of that must have been really hard to parent me. Gosh, Dad, with the time that we have left, I sure would love to improve relationship with you. And if there's anything else that I've done that you need to hear from me about, maybe ways I've hurt you, I'm open. I'm open ears to it. But George, if you have that conversation, go in knowing there's a high risk that he'll just be as upset with you as he always mm-hmm. is. But it is surprising how often humility and that soft word can turn away wrath.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, George. And George, I love as you were telling your story that you realize that you're okay, that you've been mm-hmm. able to not yeah. just see yourself through the eyes of your family, right? And mm-hmm. that you've created this new experience where actually people respond to you differently. And they don't make exactly. you out to be the problem in the family. So I love that you've had some healing there. So I think, like Alice was saying, to be realistic about your family, do your part. You've already said something to brother, and it's okay to say, my brother spoke out of turn, and I'm not sure why he said that, Dad. But if there's any concern that you have about how I feel about you, and then, you know, how Alice presented it so well, I think that's a really important conversation to have. And do you think that you'd be willing, and do you think your dad would be able to sit and receive conversation from you or with you?
Absolutely, I am willing, because mm-hmm. I want
George.
Close this. I want to really fix it.
Yeah.
Again, I heard what you said, high risk, but I am mm-hmm. willing to go in. I'm willing to pray about it a long mm-hmm. time. I'm get on my knees fast, whatever it takes.
Oh, George.
Yeah.
Get in there and do something correctly.
Yeah. 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 Well, and that humility, again, they may not change, but you've done your part to repair it.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And yeah. coming from a place of humility where you're really willing to look at your part is disarming for them.
Right.
Unless
right.
your dad's just incapable and he needs yeah. his anger.
Right, right. We're so glad that you called, George. Jill, I'm thinking of your book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, might be a good resource
sure.
for George
yes,
in
yes.
this path forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is so... It's heartbreaking, but it happens way too often in families. Mm-hmm. But we're glad you called today, George, and we'll get you connected with that book. We're going to go to Vanessa, who's calling us from Covington, Georgia, listens on Sirius XM. Thanks for waiting, Vanessa. How can we help you today?
I was calling in regards to, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we sure can.
Thank you. I was calling, I feel like I don't have the support of my family. I'm a middle child. My mother had a set of triplets, and my identical sister passed away. She was really my confidant. And I just feel like she and my two kids were the ones who really supported me when I tried to go to college and I finished. I had my master's. Had a hard time trying to get the job I wanted, so I just have a degree and a big student loan. Also, I've been married for 23 years and been separated for about 7 years, and found out my spouse was trying to divorce me behind my back, so I won't get any of his the income that he gets.
Vanessa, the yes. music's starting. We're going to a break. If you can succinctly ask a question, we'll talk to you after the break. Do you have a question that we can be thinking about?
Is this something that I should just move on, since I feel like I don't have the support, and just appreciate my daughter and my son's support?
Well, we will answer that. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? It's just, we hear that you want to connect. And we'll talk about it during the break, but we'll give you some pointers as we come back. And we're grateful that you called. We'll be right back after this.
The
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Vanessa, and like I said, Vanessa, we were chatting during the break, and I actually think you're asking the wrong question. And, you know, sometimes that's what happens. We can get distracted on these other things, and you were asking, you know, should I just break, you know, and just move on? But I really want to know what has kept you in a relationship with a husband that you're separated from and he wants to divorce you behind your back. What are you doing about that particular situation?
Well, I don't want the divorce, and I was waiting because he never reached out to me regarding us getting back together. And I just felt led to call the courthouse and found out he was divorcing me, and I was able to stop the divorce, and I just had to let it go. I mean, it was very toxic. He did a lot of changing, but I just have to let that go.
Have you been in relationship with him the last 7 years?
No.
Have you even talked?
A different state.
Have you even talked to him in seven years?
No.
So does Vanessa does?
I have talked to him when I found out his sister had passed.
Okay.
And I didn't know it, and she had been deceased almost a year, and then he said that his dad had died that day that I called about the sister, and he was very cold, and it's like he seems to be bitter towards me.
And when you, Vanessa, when you think about moving on from him, what does that mean? Does it mean allowing the divorce?
Yes, I said I don't want anyone who don't want me, and he said, neither do I. And I said, what does that mean? Neither do you. I'm speaking for me. I mean, I love you. So I don't know. It seems like he was always putting me down for my accomplishment, and I would say, well, wait, I got your name, so this is ours, you know.
And so you're,
and it was
you're,
just always you're, a struggle.
Your question after these painful 7 years is, should I divorce my husband or allow this divorce to take place? Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't date anyone. I was just hoping, praying, fasting, and hoping. But
Vanessa, and this sounds like it's your marriage became a continuation of your family growing up.
Yes.
And
yes.
Feeling like you weren't really seen. The only person who saw you was this identical sister. Literally, you could see yourself in her, and she was there for you. And it sounds like that sustained you until she was gone. But you've been waiting and hoping. Have you ever voiced to your husband what you really wanted?
It seemingly when I would get upset, he would get upset. And it was not a shoulder I can lean on. I said, can I have some crying time and some petting time? Do you have to get mad with me when I'm angry? I mean, I need you to, but he just couldn't pull it off.
Vanessa, I wonder if you have been surrounded by selfish people or broken, unhealthy people who didn't know how to see you, take care of you, and love you. And perhaps you've been accustomed to that. And so it would make sense to me that you waited and hoped for these 7 years. But that kind of hope with opposing evidence, it's a sick hope. It's that hope deferred that makes the heart and soul sick. And so allowing the divorce to take place is allowing the reality to become the legal reality. But rather than just letting it happen, I'm sorry to say, I hope you'll consult with an attorney so that you can fight for your family, fight for your children, because I'm afraid your husband will try to rob you. I think that's what you said he's been doing. And so bringing the battle into court where lawyers can help you and defend you, maybe for the good of your family, even though it's the last thing that you want, but it's already taking place.
Yeah.
Right. It's just making it a reality, what is already, what you've already been living out. You guys haven't been together. You're already divorced emotionally, it seems.
But yeah.
I wonder if in this process of getting an attorney and seeing what your rights are and taking care of yourself, what if you guys, okay, don't think I'm crazy, you guys, if they went to our intimacy in marriage, just to be able to look at who each of them are and to kind of have a time of closure.
I think I was actually thinking that emotional freedom may be helpful for you, Vanessa, because of, like, your initial concern was your family, and then you uncovered this whole huge thing of your separation and this kind of apathetic marriage. And I wonder, you feel defeated, and the insecurity that your husband has about your educational advancements and, you know, him not being able to deal with his internal feelings. I do agree, Jill, that if he were willing to get into a process, that could make all the difference in the world. I think sometimes when we have been in a journey of trying to struggle to see the light, we get exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so then life just starts happening to us. And this is what I hear from you, Vanessa. Would you be willing to go to a workshop or maybe even seek counseling too? Because I think that that could give you some insight into why is life happening to me?
Yes.
And you were on a roll for a while. You got your education, and then it felt like all these things were just kind of happening. But I think that those would be good next steps. But Alice or Jill, do you have anything else you want to offer Vanessa in this journey?
It's certainly not too late to invite him to come to our weekend, because we've had many couples come with the divorce paperwork in the vehicle, mm-hmm. and yet they still can experience God's redemptive hand. But I'll also add, this is sadly one of the clearest cases of abandonment by a spouse, and there is a biblical ground for allowing a divorce to take place there.
Right, right. Well, we're so glad that you called, Vanessa. Does that help you, or do you need clarification on anything before we end the call?
I just don't want to call him and feel worse than I already do. I've tried to save it. I've tried. The only thing I can say, if God doesn't intervene, I can't. I can't allow myself to be. It's not pride. It's just I can't allow myself to be punched again.
Yeah, maybe we send Vanessa Healing as a Choice.
I think that's a great idea. And Vanessa, you are correct. You're astute in not mm-hmm. trusting someone who's unsafe.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always want to be champion for marriage if at all possible. And I think that's where your heart comes from, right,
and
Jill?
And for healing. Yes. And I realize it was a long shot, Vanessa.
Yeah,
I just threw it out there because I want you to have some healing, some closure here.
Right.
So that you
absolutely
can move on.
Well, we're going to send you Healing as a Choice, and I hope that you will attend the Emotional Freedom Workshop. And if you need a mm-hmm. counselor, our call center staff will connect you with that. We are so grateful that you all tuned in today, this day after Thanksgiving. And, you know, we are here for you, whether it is the day after Thanksgiving or the Monday after Thanksgiving or whatever, because we know you've heard all day today the struggles that families have. So mm-hmm. if you've listened today and you've recognized your situation or even a component of your family situation, know that there is help. You know, it's just the promise. I love what you said, Alice, about the Romans verse, and just that we need to do what we can to live at peace, but sometimes there's a separation. We're so glad that you tuned in today. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Alice. And I hope you guys go for a walk today. You know, wear off some of that turkey and, you know, put those stretch pants to work somewhere. Thanks for listening. If you need any help, give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.